Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Time, where we take you around the world of soccer, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Full Time is presented by the Game Sports Podcast and powered by 91 Network. You are listening to Season 4, Episode 16 of Full Time. I am your host, Daniel Scarpino, and with me is our co-host, Gaetano Gallo. Before we begin today's show, Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. With their two locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, you can download and access the Pizza Portal app so you can enjoy a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. We remind our listeners that recordings of Full Time occur weekly or bi-weekly, and uploads to all of our platforms for public viewing and listening occur weekly or bi-weekly as well. Folks, we welcome you back here to Full Time, where we get to talk about the sport that connects us all. G, we're here together on this beautiful Saturday morning with a little bit of snow on the ground, surprisingly, here in April. How are you, my friend?
Not going to lie, I'm not doing great because City play Chelsea in about 45 minutes and I am not looking forward to it. But other than that, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. And sadly, I wish I had the same nerves because that means that Arsenal's out of that competition. And we're going to get to talk about that competition a little bit later in our show. But again, apart from maybe that sort of stuff, definitely doing good. In today's show, we will talk about Europe's Big Five, of course, the FA Cup, the Champions League, the Europa League, and local soccer. As always, if anyone would like to listen to our previous content, please check us out at Full Time on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. And without further ado, Gaetano, and to everyone who has taken the time to tune in here today, let's kick off. We get today's show going with discussions about Europe's Big Five. And of course, we have to start with the Bundesliga. Gaetano, it has officially happened, and we can officially say it. Bayer Leverkusen are champions of Germany for the first time ever. After their victory this last Sunday, they have won the league with five games to spare, and it's now Bayern Munich, Stuttgart, RB Leipzig, and Dortmund who will battle it out for the remaining top four positions. Gee, Bayer Leverkusen is still undefeated. It's 44 games now, I believe. Still playing some of the best football in all of Europe. And now they can officially call themselves champions of Germany. The floor is yours, sir.
Just an absolutely incredible season for them. Like we've said, basically for the last 8 months, the best team in Europe, not even just results-wise, but just to watch. Xabi Alonso has committed himself at least to next season with them as well, which is huge. So this is going to be like a one-and-done project. I also, kind of coming into the season, thought there might be, you know, players getting poached out of there to go and play for bigger teams over the summer. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they have kind of a really solid core. They're really going to be able to push next season as well. And I think just overall, just unbelievable season for them to win it for their first time ever. Just so special. The scenes when they won it was even before they won it, Florian Wirtz having to tell fans to get off the pitch after scoring, just incredible to watch. I'm so happy for them, for their fans. Just a huge, huge moment for German football.
I think it is too. And I mean, for the better part of a decade, even longer, really, we've seen Bayern Munich dominate. So it's nice to see that there's another project coming through. It looks like a true project, like you said. Xabi Alonso is going to stay next year, at least next year. And it doesn't look like maybe too many players are going to be going out the door. And if they can continue, obviously it's going to be difficult to repeat this next year because this has been exceptional beyond any standard. But if they can sort of build a project and continue this going forward, I think it's going to be outstanding, not just for German football, but football in general. So congratulations, of course, to Bayer Leverkusen, champions of Germany for the first time ever. Out in Italy, Serie A, a champion is soon to be crowned, but not quite yet. Inter remain top of the table by a substantial 14 points with just six games remaining. Milan holds second. Juventus is third, while Bologna sits fourth. Roma and Atalanta are still both within a shout to get into the top four, although they will have their work cut out for them from now until the end of the season. Gee, the job isn't quite done yet for Inter, but it could be in about a week or so. What do you say here for Serie A?
Yeah, shocked to see Inter kind of run away with it the way they did. It looked like it was actually going to be a pretty close battle for the majority of the year, and only the last, 6-8 weeks, Inter's really, really run away with it. But like deservedly so, they've just been so, so good. The rest of the kind of the top four, top five have still been very good, but just Inter just a class above.
Yeah, a class above indeed, and it's only a matter of time. It's the inevitable is being delayed, shall we call it, but it'll be sort of the same thing as it is in Germany, just the rest of the teams kind of battling for the top four positions. So we'll definitely continue to highlight Serie A, and once Inter wins it, of course. In France's Ligue 1, PSG hold first place with a 10-point gap. Brest and Monaco are battling it out for second place, while Lille sits just behind them. Gaetano, PSG haven't been their dominant selves down the stretch here. Do you anticipate that that will change in the final 9 to 10 games?
I mean, like, the gap's closed by a couple of points, which is, you know, not what you expect from PSG at this point of the season. I still think they'll run away with it, or not maybe not run away with it, but they'll still win it. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than they would like and their fans would like as well.
Yeah, it's kind of that up and down form that, you know, they win, you know, two games or so, and then they'll draw a couple or even, you know, pick up a loss here or there. But again, we talked about it, I believe it was our last show, that it does seem to be year in, year out, one of those leagues where you can have those sorts of dips in performances and you can still remain top, where if it, that happened, as we're going to talk about here shortly, in the Premier League, you'd be well out of the title race. So yeah, it's frustrating to see, but maybe they will hold on, but I would love to see them kind of drop a few more games, at least just for entertainment purposes. La Liga in Spain has 7 games to go, and it is still all to play for. Real Madrid is first with 78 points. Barcelona is second as they continue their climb with 70 points of their own. Girona is third with 65 points, and Atletico Madrid is fourth with 61 points. Does Real Madrid have one hand on the title?
After Sunday, we'll see. They play Barcelona, it's El Clasico. I think if they can get themselves, you know, if they can get that double-digit point gap, go up to 11 points clear, I think that would be it. But if Barca are able to, you know, even get a draw, or if they take all 3 points, then I think the title race will be like fully on, which is crazy to think about considering what we were talking about, you know, a couple months ago.
Yeah, no kidding. It was Girona that we thought maybe could have that sort of Cinderella story, if you will. But yeah, I would say right now that Real Madrid probably has fingertips on the trophy, and they're just about there at the title. But like you said, after Sunday, we could be having a much different conversation the next time that we record. So I'm kind of rooting for Barcelona because I'd love to see a bit of a shakeup there and to see another proper title race. And then, of course, finally, in the English Premier League, why wouldn't there be another twist and turn? And change at the top, because now it is Manchester City who is in the driver's seat with 73 points. Arsenal sits second with 71 points, and joined with them is Liverpool with 71 points of their own, but they do have a lesser goal difference. Aston Villa moved back up into fourth, at least for the time being, as Tottenham continues to chase them. Gee, a couple of slip-ups last weekend from both Liverpool and Arsenal. Liverpool losing to Crystal Palace, Arsenal losing to Aston Villa. And that'll see City go to the top as they took care of business against Luton Town in pretty emphatic fashion. It's yet another twist in the title race, as we said. Gaetano, your thoughts?
I mean, like, what is there to say, Scarps? This is probably the best title race we've seen in a decade. I still don't think the twists and turns are done, you know, by far. it's just insane. I didn't even watch the Arsenal-Liverpool games last Sunday. I was like, you know, I'm going to go golfing with Avery, my co-host on Bitter Rivals. I'm like, just, you know, not going to think about it. So that was a nice surprise to come back to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is like just insane to watch. I don't know, just kind of on Liverpool, I don't know what Ten Hag did to them. Mm-hmm. Like, because they lost that FA Cup game and it's just been a complete shambles since. I don't know what happened, if there was some like freaky Friday, like, well, it's not even that, because United have been not very good since either, but like, just they've just been completely ruined since that FA Cup game. Arsenal, I mean, Aston Villa is a tough game. That's, you know, that's not, you know, dropping points to a lower table team or mid table team. Like, that's a very good team. It's not a shame to drop points to them. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even think by like the 90th minute on match day 38, we're going to know who's winning the title. I think it's just going to be insane.
Yeah, I totally agree with, you know, one of your first points there, that the twists and turns probably aren't over, and that'll probably go for all three teams. If I did have to say at this moment in time, just being honest, if you had to pick one team to win, you know, the majority of their remaining games, I'd probably pick Manchester City, just because they've been there, done that. And I remember when I was a kid, like I was probably, I don't know, 11 years old, maybe, I had a coach one time, and I remember we lost the game. And, you know, after the game, all the players were kind of not jawing at each other, but we're all really upset. And he kind of calmed us all down. He goes, I'm just going to say one thing and then everyone can go. He said, if you don't score, you don't win. And, you know, I took a look at that Liverpool game. I watched that one. They could not score, just could not score. And they didn't win. Arsenal, second half, they were horrendous. However, first half, they were fine. They were looking comfortable and they should have scored probably 3-4 goals. But again, if you don't take your chances, I don't care who you play in the Premier League, you're not going to win. So yeah, a couple more twists and turns are probably going to come. There'll be a few games played today, but because of the FA Cup games going on, not all 20 teams will be in action. So there'll be some, I believe it's actually Arsenal that played two games in the Premier League before City play another game. So there will be some twists and turns inevitably, and some pressure put on some other teams too. But we'll definitely continue to keep highlighting things here on Full Time, because it is right now the best title race, and has been the best title race in Europe. The relegation battle in the Premier League continues to raise eyebrows. It is Sheffield United who remain bottom, excuse me. Burnley, they can't quite get out of 19th there, so they're second from bottom. And Luton Town is an 18th, and they all, of course, occupy the relegation spots. Nottingham Forest and Everton sit outside the relegation zone, but only just. Gee, it's like we're constantly waiting to see who's going to get hit with another points deduction, how this relegation battle is going to shake up. But, you know, that proverbial needle, it seems to always want to move, but then it only moves slightly. Your analysis here of the relegation battle, because we still don't exactly know what's going to happen with the likes of Nottingham Forest, Everton, or even some of the other teams in the relegation zone.
Yeah, like we talked about, I'm going to start with Burnley because they're actually winning their game right now, which is surprising considering their season. But even this 3 points isn't going to get them out of the drop zone right now. Like we said last week, just a little too late for them. They kind of have finally kind of put the puzzle pieces together. It's just not enough time for them, I don't think. Luton Town are currently getting destroyed by Brentford. I've got that game on right now. It's 5-0. Yeah. And it's just kind of a summary of their season, like that, you know, conceding five this week, conceding five to City last week. Like, as great as their story was getting through Premier League, they just are not Premier League quality right now. Maybe a season or two in the Championship, bringing a couple players, you know, might change that. But yeah, they've just not been Championship or Premier League quality. And then Sheffield United are currently getting battered by Burnley, kind of showing that gulf in class, even in the relegation zone. Unless there's point deductions, I really don't see any of these teams escaping at this point. I think it's, you know, and whether they finish, you know, which one finishes 18th, 19th, 20th doesn't really matter. It's not like the top of the table. I think those three are just going straight back down.
Unfortunately, I'm probably going to have to agree with you at this moment in time, barring a, again, points deduction. You know, it's bad. A buddy of mine texted me, goes, hey, I'm watching the Luton Town game and I'm incredibly bored. Do you happen to have the high school soccer rules that I can have on hand as a So it's like, you know, you'd never typically text somebody during a Premier League game, especially when a team's trying to get out of relegation because they're typically fighting like hell. But in this case here, it's just it hasn't come off for any of those three teams. It is starting to for Burnley, like you said, but we talked about it last show. They waited about 30 games for them, you know, to start getting those pieces together. So probably a little bit too late. And G, let's move it on over now to the FA Cup. And as we record here this morning on Saturday, we are on the verge, both today and tomorrow, of the semifinals of this competition commencing. And it will be your Manchester City, Gaetano, who get the party started this afternoon when they play against Chelsea. Tomorrow, it will be Coventry who go up against the other side of Manchester, and that will be Manchester United. Both of these games are taking place at Wembley, and these four teams will be battling for a place in the FA Cup final. How are you feeling about it all, my friend? I know at the beginning of the show you said bundle of nerves and what have you, but you got to be just honored again to be in this position.
Yeah, I feel like once the players walk out, I'll kind of like the nerves will settle a bit. There'll be a little bit of calm. Because I hate the build-up. The build-up is the worst. Like, when the lineups drop an hour before, and it's just, you just stare at the 11 names in the paper, and you're like, please, just, you know. So, yeah, I think, yeah, once the teams walk out and the game gets going, the nerves will kind of settle. Like, it's a different kind of nerves watching the game than the build-up. Chelsea have been kind of a bogey team for City this year. Two games, two draws, 4-4 in November, and 1-1 just a couple of months ago. So it's not as easy as like, oh, you know, I've got confidence in the boys. I always do, but just this Chelsea team's proven to be very difficult this year, and they've also just been kind of like bipolar. Like, you get a really good Chelsea team that, you know, can go 4-4 with City and 1-1 with City, get some good results. And then they've also just looked absolutely awful at times. So you really don't know what you're going to get. I think City should be able to power through here. There's just, I think, more than enough quality throughout the squad to be able to see us through. So I'm going to go with City to win. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be a huge margin of victory. I think it's going to be very tight, very close. But yeah, I got City going through.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because Chelsea have been having a really poor season by just about all accounts. But you know, they got to the final of the Carabao Cup, and now they're in another semifinal in another cup competition. So despite the fact that they're having a poor season domestically in the Premier League, they're doing okay in cup competitions. And you know, for me, I'm also going to take Manchester City. I do believe that. Again, Chelsea have stated that they have a couple of guys that are out with injuries and things like this. Pep's probably going to have to rotate the team a little. You don't think at all? You don't think
the lineup's out. I can quickly pull up the lineup and read it to you. I was expecting rotation as well. He did not rotate.
Wow.
Excuse me, 2 seconds here. So we've got Ortega's in net, which is, he's been our cup keeper, so that's fine. Back line of Walker, Stones, Akanji, and Ake. Midfield three of Rodrigo, De Bruyne, and Bernardo. And front three of Foden, Grealish, and Alvarez.
I would have thought that, because you brought on Stones in that Champions League game, and you said Grealish.
Yep, Grealish starting as well. I was expecting to see at least, you know, Rico Lewis get a start. I was expecting Oscar Bob, one of Kovacic or Mateus Nunez to start. But no, Pep's gone, like, he's gone heavy.
And I thought Kovacic would start as well, purely because I thought that maybe he'd want to get his confidence back going after that penalty miss. So I actually, yeah, so, okay, so my thinking was off there. Well, that's good then you know, a City fan. I know even if you do rotate the squad, I mean, the players that you just mentioned, they're all fantastic. They would manage just fine. But like I said, I'm also going to take Manchester City. I don't expect the world from Chelsea in this game, but I don't expect them to be poor either. So I think Manchester City will win it, not comfortably, but I do believe that they will win it also. And of course, the magic of the cup is sort of summed up in the other semifinal, which is going to take place tomorrow between championship side Coventry, and they will go up against, of course, Manchester United. Gaetano, Coventry is seeking promotion to the Premier League while Manchester United try to find some stability in their club and in their season. That said, all sort of domestic matters will be pushed aside for 90 minutes or possibly more in the semifinal. And what do you personally expect in this game, and who do you think is going to book their ticket to the FA Cup final, G?
So I see it going down one of two ways. So first way is United kind of remember that they're Manchester United and there's a lot of pretty good players in that squad, and they win comfortably. Like, that's kind of, you know, you look at it on paper, that's what should happen. The other hand is United, you know, I said Chelsea were kind of bipolar this year. United have been significantly worse, and it's been about a decade. Where Coventry, you know, United just fail miserably. Coventry, you know, get their one chance and score. And, you know, I think this could go either way. I really look at this, you know, Coventry versus Manchester United in an FA Cup final, and I could not tell you who's going to win. As a City fan, I'm happy with either result, because either United win and hopefully we can beat them in the final for the second year in a row, which would be fantastic, or they lose and they're just the laughingstock of the football community again, which is great for me. For fun, I'm going to pick Coventry to win. I don't think it's a totally out there shout. I think they've actually been playing pretty well this season so far domestically. United have been dog water domestically. So I really think that there's a good chance that Coventry get this result. But obviously, you know, if United, you know, remember they're United, they should, you know, should get that result. But you never know.
You just don't know. But here's what I see happening in this game. And I think it's going to, I mean, football, we say it all the time, you can't write this script. However, I think there's going to be a proverbial script written. I think Manchester United's going to win. I think they're going to win after 90 minutes, whether it's an extra time or penalties. And I think that we will have a replay of last year's, or, you know, a back-to-back final, if you will, of last year's FA Cup final between Manchester City and Manchester United. So what I think it's going to bring about is a bigger point, and I think it's going to be a case of this. Because the FA just announced yesterday, just 24 hours ago, that there won't be any more FA Cup replays moving forward starting next season. The lower league teams, the likes of the Conference, League One, League Two, Championship, absolutely devastated, and for good reason, I would say. And I think that this game here, I think it's going to go to extra time, and I think it's going to bring about a point that if this was a game that wasn't a quarterfinal, semifinal, and it was tied at the end of regulation, now all of a sudden we're not able to go and visit the other team's stadium. So with now that being said, of course you're going to take City and Coventry, I'm going to take City and United, but let's talk a little bit about the fact that there will not be any more replays in the FA Cup. I personally don't like it, G, but I am wanting to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you, for like a bunch of reasons. So obviously, like, for the football, you know, the fact that, you know, City going to, you know, play at Wrexham, that could be their biggest game of the year. That's huge, you know, for smaller clubs to get that kind of influx of money and cash, the eyes, the attention. You know, it's, those are typically, you know, barring, you know, a team winning their league, or making a miracle cup run, like, those are your biggest games of the year. So to have that, you know, financially for the clubs taken away, for the fans, for the players taken away, it's just, I'm trying to keep it PG here, but it's really shitty. It really is. It's, and the other thing is, there were only 20 teams consulted on this, which are the 20 Premier League clubs. There's about 700 clubs in all of England, professional and semi-pro, that are involved in these cups, you know, and they consulted 20 of them. I think it's just bullshit from the FA. Yeah. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, it is brutally disappointing. And we talked about it all the time with the European Super League, how it was only, you know, for those small portion of really rich teams that were going to be in this sort of exclusive cup competition. Obviously, this is a little bit different, but it's almost that they're just favoring those 20 or even 17 Premier League teams, yeah, all of the, right? Because, you know, they don't know the three that are going to come up every year. But yeah, I'm really disappointed to see that. And I think it does take away from the magic of the cup, and it does take away from, you know, the smaller or lower league teams, if you will. So disappointed to see that. But all I can kind of hope for, and I'm sure us as footballing fans, is that maybe next year, just to kind of prove a statement that at this point in the competition or even the quarterfinals, we see more championship sides in there, League One or even League Two teams in there, because then it would really make a statement. And, you know, hopefully, I don't know the details of this decision, but maybe it's reversible. Maybe they do it next year and then they're able to change it the following year, because, again, we want to talk about the way that football has been. And, yeah, you know what, the game evolves and things change and what have you, for sure. But there's some things that need not changing, and I think that this is one of those things. But regardless of how we feel on it, we do have to focus on, of course, is the semifinals, which do happen today and tomorrow, and it is all down to this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. And two teams will cement their place in the FA Cup final, which we will be able to review for you on our next show. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the two locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. The Champions League quarterfinals have wrapped up, and we were treated to some amazing football, and not to mention a healthy amount of goals as well. G, did the quarterfinals live up to the hype?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and we say it every year, and I feel like we're going to keep saying it every year, but like, these are some of the best quarterfinals we've seen in terms of the actual matchups, the, you know, the 180 minutes of each tie or more. Just incredible all the way around.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And the fact that we can continue to say it means that the football is getting better and better, and you have to love to see it. And the first of those ties that we are going to be talking about here and reviewing is between PSG and Barcelona. And after Barcelona picked up a 3-2 victory over PSG, it was the second leg that completely turned things around in the tie. PSG completely bossed the second leg away at Camp Nou, and they defeated Barcelona by a score of 4-1 on the day, and as a result, win 6-4 on aggregate. Gee, there's so many goals to talk about alongside a red card, defensive mistakes, and a pretty awesome couple of atmospheres at both stadiums, might I add. Give us your analysis for this one.
Yeah, I think the red card for Araujo was the dagger for Barcelona. I think Ilkay Gundogan said it best post-game. You know, you'd rather let the guy go one-on-one, hopefully your keeper saves it, or you concede one goal rather than going down to 10 men for, about 65, 70 minutes. I thought Barcelona were kind of in it up until that point. It looked like a pretty even tie, but yeah, just, you know, especially against PSG, you know, players like Mbappe who can take advantage of that extra space being down to 10 men, you know, just, yeah, dagger. I think PSG, you know, obviously over the course of the tie deserved it, but I definitely would have liked to see, you know, 11-11. That would have been a lot closer. I think Barcelona might have been able to edge the result, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. In football, as we talk about all the time, it's a matter of opinions, but it's also a matter of moments in the games. And I do believe that that was the moment where everything kind of turned on its head and allowed PSG to really crawl their way back into the tie and ultimately win it. The next tie that we will look at was yet another goal fest, and that was between Dortmund and Atletico Madrid. After Atletico Madrid took advantage of the tie by a score of 2-1 after the first leg, it was a rather emphatic response from Dortmund, who won the second leg at home by a score of 4-2, and as a result, defeat Atletico by a score of 5-4 on aggregate. Gee, Dortmund booked their ticket to the semifinals in this competition. Where did it go right for Dortmund, and where did it seemingly go wrong for Atletico?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Atletico. Them conceding 5 goals in a tie is kind of unheard of. You know, obviously Dortmund, we talked about having a bit of firepower, being able to, you know, kind of, if they played their attractive offensive football, you know, seeing it through, and obviously it worked. I was just shocked to see kind of Atletico's defensive structure fall apart, especially in the second leg. You know, I know it's, you know, in Dortmund, their stadium's one of the, you know, most intimidating atmospheres in world football, but kind of a total collapse from them.
Yeah, I fully agree. I was shocked to see how many goals Atletico conceded. But again, it's football, anything could happen. And Dortmund right now is riding a really nice wave, European-wise and even domestically too, with the push that they are trying to make for the top four. So they're involved right now in a very good moment, and deservedly so. They go through to the semifinals of this competition. Bayern Munich matched up against Arsenal in what was a relatively historic clash between these two clubs, particularly in this competition. After a 2-2 draw in the first leg, it was Bayern Munich who won the second leg by a score of 1-0. And as a result, they win the tie 3-2 on aggregate. Gee, you know how disappointed I am, but what can you say for this tie?
Yeah, I'll keep it brief because I'll let you discuss it a little more. It is, you know, your Arsenal, but I thought they gave it a good run. It's, you know, there's no shame in going out to a team like Bayern Munich, especially you make it nice and close like that. You know, they didn't concede 10, which is over aggregate, which is a welcome change probably for you considering the last few times you've played them. But yeah, I'll give you the floor here because it is your team.
Yeah, and I don't want to say too much just because I don't want to beat this thing to death, obviously. But yeah, it's disappointing the way that Arsenal went out, purely because I thought in the second leg, first half, defensively sound, structured, organized. It actually kind of reminded me of when Arsenal played City, when Arsenal played that low block, which, you know, I was impressed that they were able to execute the tactic that well. I was hoping that it was going to be a bit more entertaining and that we would have gone for it in that game a bit more, but I digress. I felt that in the second half of the second leg that there were too many players for Arsenal that hid and showed their lack of experience and their lack of maturity. And you take a look at how young the Arsenal team still is, you almost excuse it while still being really disappointed. I wasn't angry after the game. I didn't want to like throw my remote through the TV or anything like that. But I thought to myself, like, we kind of let it slip because we probably could have gotten a better result. We probably could have won the tie. That being said, you texted me during and you said, you know, City had to go through this as well when you kind of have to go through this process in order to get to where you want to be. So it's not all doom and gloom. and it was a decent run in the competition after being out of it for what seemed like forever. So Bayern go through. I think that actually, I have to admit, Bayern were good in both legs. They deserve to go through. But yeah, a little bit disappointed as an Arsenal fan. And hopefully with the one competition that we're still in, that being the Premier League, we can hopefully go and do something. And we are going to discuss now the last quarterfinal match. And we were treated to an absolute classic between two giant clubs in your Manchester City, Gaetano, and of course, Real Madrid. After a thrilling 3-3 draw in the first leg, it was yet another draw in the second leg, this time by a score of 1-1, bringing the aggregate score to 4-4. In the end, it would require penalties to find a winner, and it was Real Madrid who were successful from the spot, defeating the champions in this competition 4-3 on penalties. Gee, as a neutral fan, this was amazing for me to see, but obviously you had a horse in the race, so it means a lot more to you here. All I want to say before I give you the floor, because again, similar to you, I'm not City, you are City, so you deserve to talk about this way more than me, but City absolutely dominated that second leg, and they were amazing, and unfortunate for them to lose, but I'd love for you to have a word and break this one down for us, my friend.
Yeah, it's heartbreak. It's tough. And I don't mean to kind of, disrespect you and your Arsenal, but like, even when I look at City, like, you know, like Arsenal, you kind of have the excuse of, you know, their young kind of immature team comes with the kind of the project that they are building. I look at City, in the last, basically since Pep took over 6-7 years, like there was always kind of an excuse or a reason why we went out, whether it was terrible VAR against Tottenham in 17-18, Sterling missing the sitter in 2020 against Lyon, Pep not starting a DM in the Champions League final in 2021. There was always kind of like something that you could kind of anchor your anger and disappointment in. But I look at this 210 minutes of probably the best football you're ever going to see. And City were the better team over 210 minutes. When you play like that, there's no excuse. There's no like fault. It's you played phenomenally. You dominated. And unfortunately you don't go through because of penalties. So you don't even get kind of there is nothing kind of hold on to and say, yeah, this is why this is like, you drop that 210 minutes against any other team in Europe and you're probably winning that tie comfortably. You're probably not even needing the extra 30. It sucks. It's not fun. It was a mature team who, been there, knew what they were doing, crushed it, like just played phenomenally. I don't typically watch the games while I'm at work because I'm working and, can't be doing that. I know the boss might be listening, so I definitely don't do, but like I had extra time and the penalties on at work, so I was like, I have to watch it. And it was, domination. Like I said, any other team in Europe, that's a comfortable victory for City. So it sucks that like, you put that type of performance in and you go out. I think it also kind of there's like a sliver of kind of good in this, and it's the kind of take pride in the fact that, Real Madrid, the 14 times Champions League winners, came to the Etihad and parked the bus. They did a phenomenal job of doing it, obviously, but they came to the Etihad and they didn't play their football. They were scared and they played great in what they wanted to do, similar to the way Arsenal did a few weeks back. It's not pretty, but at the end of the day, it gets them through.
Yeah, 100%. And then Pep summarized it pretty good after the game. Just, hey, we were excellent over the two legs, particularly in the second leg. Put your hands up. What are you going to do? It's football, right? So, yeah, Real Madrid, maybe now the favorites to win it. Tough to say, but we will review our picks here, G. We both only got one pick correct in these. So you picked Bayern and you were right there, and I picked Madrid. Ironically, we both beat other teams and were right to do so. But in your opinion, does this just show how unpredictable, that the Champions League is?
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's yes, it is unpredictable. Like, you're talking about some of the best teams in world football. Like, it's not like it's Coventry and United, right? It's like these are like heavyweights all across the board. Unpredictable, but also that's what you expect with the best teams in world football.
Absolutely. And with that said, it is the semifinals that we now have to look forward to. Bayern Munich will play against Real Madrid, and it'll be Dortmund playing against PSG. G, we're going to preview these matchups in our next show here on Full Time, but just, you know, for simplicity here, what do you like about these matchups for the semifinals?
I love the absolute heavyweight battle. Like, it's not even, it's like super heavyweight of Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. That's just, you know, there was talk of like, oh, like the Champions League's fallen off a little bit. And you look at like the ties we've gotten now, and it's like, no, this is like the best Champions League maybe we've ever seen in terms of the matchups. I love that. I also love the kind of, not underdogs, but not traditional, you know, heavy hitters in Borussia Dortmund and PSG in the other semifinal, kind of knowing that you're getting one, you know, super team and one kind of black horse, kind of, or black sheep, sorry, in each one. I feel like I like that a lot. It's a little bit of a different vibe than we normally get out of Champions League semifinals.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I love the storylines that kind of surround each team, you know, with PSG and Mbappe leaving, is he going to have his, you know, story completed, if you will, with Dortmund, kind of that underdog story, so to speak, of the four teams. And actually one of their players, I don't know which one it was, said, not a bad showing for a farm team, he said, you know.
Hummels, Mats Hummels.
Yes, I thought of it. So he did that. And then, you know, so for them, it's fantastic. Thomas Tuchel with the stuff going on at Bayern, them not winning the league, could they go and do it here? And then, of course, for Real Madrid, trying to win it for a 15th time. So there's so many good stories, and I'm definitely looking forward to previewing those matchups next time that we are on full-time together. And the Europa League quarterfinals have all wrapped up as well. Gee, some pretty fascinating stuff there, similar to the Champions League. And your thoughts on these matchups that took place overall, sir?
Yeah, this is, and again, like we've kind of been reiterating this, but like a lot of times, like I remember like growing up, the Europa League was kind of, it was kind of mid. There were some like not good teams in it, you know. But like you look at this, like these matchups we saw were just like stupid good. Like if you had told me 10 years ago you're gonna get like Milan and Roma in a Europa League quarterfinal, like that would have been nuts. Like I would not have believed you. You know, even like Liverpool playing in there, and you know, Leverkusen and West Ham, like this is crazy. I thought these matchups might have been, or these games or might have been like a little better than the Champions League games. Just there's a little more chaos, which as a neutral I enjoy. Obviously if there's chaos for City games, it's not as fun. But as a neutral, I just enjoyed the chaos of the Europa League just a smidge more this year.
Yeah, it was a heck of a lot of fun. And I think for what we have to look forward to now in the semifinals, I think, again, we talk about it oftentimes that these competitions, they seemingly get better and better each year. And I remember last year with Roma, all the chaos that happened there. Like, yeah, you know, it's good to see that this competition and competitions like it continue to get better and improve. So what we'll do now is we'll review those games, and we're going to get things rolling with Roma and Milan. It did take some doing and required a little bit of resilience, but with two victories, Roma get past Milan by a score of 3-1 on aggregate, and they get into the semifinals of this competition. Gee, it's not a massive upset, but it is, like, on paper anyways, an upset nonetheless. Because most people did have Milan winning this tie. Where did you think that it went wrong for Milan, and where do you think that it went maybe right for Roma?
I think you kind of nailed it last time when we were previewing this, kind of riding that new wave, new manager wave with Daniele De Rossi leading the team. I don't know if you ever saw the clip of his last team talk before leading Roma out. I'll send it to you after. And he just, you know, it's his speech, and he gets the team just like they were ready to run through a brick wall for him. I think he's kind of got that same vibe going as manager, especially saying, hey, like, we're playing Milan. It's a European quarterfinal. Like, go out there and kill them. Like, that's basically, you know, and that's how he was as a player. So I can assume it's the same as the manager. And yeah, they just looked like they wanted it more. That's kind of really what it boiled down to. I don't think Milan played terribly. I think Roma wanted it more, and they got it.
Yeah, I fully agree with you there. And I mean, when you take a look, and I was able to watch some of the games, again, only able to catch the end of them because we're at work most of the time during the course of when the games take place. But Milan, they weren't short on chances, but again, they really didn't make the most of any attacking opportunities. And a lot of times when that happens, even though you might be conceding chances against, it actually gives you confidence as a defending team because you're thinking to yourself, yeah, these lot probably aren't going to score against us today. So Roma rode those waves, I felt, and deservedly go through. So definitely good on them. And moving it along to another quarterfinal between Marseille and Benfica, after things ended 2-2 on aggregate, it required penalties to decide things. And it was Marseille who get themselves over the line by a score of 4-2 on penalties. Gee, Marseille, they get it done in the end. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, I thought both teams gave kind of the best account of themselves they could over the 210 minutes there. I thought, anytime a tie comes down to penalties like this, it's really hard to kind of dissect it, you know, or dissect the result anyways, because, you know, penalties is it's a crapshoot. But yeah, I thought both teams played really, really well. I think both teams probably deserve to go through in terms of the football they played. But unfortunately for Benfica, penalties just weren't for them.
Yeah, complete and total toss-up. And you and I both had a difficult time choosing who we thought might win that tie last time on our show. And probably for good reason, because like you said, both teams played well. But penalties, best way to win it, toughest way to lose it. And of course, Marseille do go through and Benfica are out. West Ham and Leverkusen did everything to entertain us, but in the end, it was, of course, Leverkusen who got the job done in resolute fashion. They beat West Ham by a score of 3-1 on aggregate, and of course, keep that undefeated streak going as it does sit at 44 games, as we mentioned earlier in our show. Could be 45 by the end of the weekend if they continue to either win or draw. Obviously, Leverkusen continue to roll on. Your analysis here?
Yeah, they just, unfortunately for West Ham, just outclassed them. They were just better. There's not really a lot more to say. That West Ham have been good in this run. They've been pretty good domestically, but just Leverkusen are just kind of a class above right now, basically everyone in Europe, I would say. So yeah, as disappointing as it is for West Ham fans, considering their great run in the Conference League last year, crashing out to this Leverkusen team is no shame at all. They've been best team in Europe, and I fully kind of expect Leverkusen to keep this run going.
Yep, it's just, they seem like a team that just don't know how to lose. It's incredible to see, and they even pulled that draw in the second leg, 89th minute, I think it was, with Frimpong, maybe.
They don't know how to lose. No. They don't.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So they, of course, are through, and they keep their magical season going in Europe as well. And finally, it was Atalanta who went to battle against Liverpool, with next to no one having Atalanta beating Liverpool, apart from maybe their own fans. It was Atalanta who did just that in the most dramatic fashion that you could imagine, or close to anyhow. In the first leg, Atalanta took the trip up to Anfield and beat them by a score of 3-0, which was unthinkable for almost any football fan. The second leg saw Liverpool do everything in their power to claw their way back into it. And whilst they did win the second leg, it was only by a score of 1-0 and thus was not enough. It's Atalanta who defeat Liverpool by a score of 3-1 on aggregate and move into the semifinals. Gee, absolute madness here, my friend. Could not have pictured this one, to be perfectly honest with you. But I guess an upset had to come somewhere. The floor is yours.
Yeah, well, you know, crashing out in Europe, it just means more to Liverpool, right? You know? but I texted you after the first leg, because I saw the score, and I was like, you know what? If Atalanta did this at home, that's a great result going into Anfield. That was kind of my thinking. Yeah. You know, but then I checked FootMob, and I was like, that was at Anfield. Like, they went to Anfield and dominated. Like, they didn't like squeak three like lucky goals or, you know, any, you know, sort of luck or, you know, misfortune from Liverpool. Like, they dominated. I did not see that coming at all. And really, Liverpool kind of were done and buried there. I really didn't expect much from them in the second leg. Yes, they got the one goal and, you know, won the game. But they were done after that first leg. I think losing like that at Anfield just deflated them, and there was never going to be kind of a comeback.
Yeah, and you know what? Anfield is almost never silent, ever. And the fact that after the game was done, it was relatively silent. I think, like you said, you know, going into that second leg, there was minimal hope. And I think Klopp tried everything in the press conferences to try and fire his team up and the few away fans that got to travel. But in the end, it was just never enough. So well done to Atalanta. And in our picks for that one, G, you got one correct with Leverkusen, and I went 50% with Leverkusen and Marseille. Again, like, these are so difficult to call, aren't they?
Yeah, and like I said with the Champions League, like the quality of teams, like, there's no real gulf in quality across any of these quarterfinals. Like, you know, yes, you look kind of, if you peel it back to the, you know, round of 32 and other knockout stage, like, yeah, you kind of see a bit, but like they kind of get the better teams kind of weed out the worst teams at this point. And we're seeing, you know, the quality of the teams that are making it further. You know, it's just, it's incredible. I got nothing left to say. Like I said at the Champions League, these are just some of the best teams in Europe. Like there really is no, like, there's no underdog. There's no like golf in class. These are the best teams in Europe. Of course, it's going to be very difficult to predict. I've done awfully, by the way, this round. I'm not pleased with myself.
I'm not much better, to be fair. But yeah, no, you're right, though, and how awesome it is and how lucky we are to be able to see all these teams competing on the biggest stage. It's phenomenal for sure. And at a very brief glance here, Gaetano, in the semifinals, it will be Marseille up against Atalanta, and it will be Roma facing Leverkusen. What do you like about these ones?
First of all, and this is like, I don't want to see an all-Italian matchup in the final. I want to see some kind of some fun from the other leagues. I like seeing that kind of diversity and seeing, you know, a French team win it, a Spanish team win it, a German team win it. Like I don't want it to be just, because yeah. Remember there was a stretch when it was like Sevilla kept winning the Europa League and it was Real Madrid always winning Champions League. It's like it's not as fun that way. It's you know, and it's like a taste thing. It's nothing to, you know, against the teams or, you know, the leagues or anything like that. Just like seeing it spread out a little more. So I'm going to hope for not a Roma Leverkusen or Roma Atalanta final. But just looking at that now, I think that Roma Leverkusen semifinal tie is going to be like fireworks might be like an understatement. I think that could be like incredible. I cannot wait to see that Leverkusen team go to Stadio Olimpico. I think that's going to be like just maybe one of the best games of the year.
For sure. There'll be two unbelievable atmospheres, home and away, for both teams respectively. And then, of course, with Marseille up against Atalanta, probably not too many people had either of those teams pegged to go that far in the competition. But yeah, I like both matchups for different reasons. And what you have to say, too, German representation in both the Champions League and the Europa League, three teams still involved. From France, two teams, and then of course two Italian teams in the Europa. So yeah, no, it's definitely good to see there. And like you said, to have variety in the teams who win and go through, I think is definitely a good thing. And just like the Champions League, of course, in our next show on Full Time, we will preview the semifinals for all of you. And now it is time for a local soccer update. Gee, the indoor soccer season has officially finished up for youth, men's, and women's soccer. We just spent 7 months indoors battling away in our respective indoor leagues, and we say it all the time, as quick as it comes is as quick as it goes. How did you enjoy yet another indoor season, my friend?
Yeah, it was pretty enjoyable. Obviously not the end result the boys wanted, crashing out in the quarterfinals, but winning the league again is always an honor and a pleasure. So hopefully we'll be kind of coming back next, October, November? To defend that title again and hopefully get the playoff title. But in the meantime, outdoor starts in what, a couple weeks?
3.5 weeks.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah, that's a quick turnaround.
As long as there's no snow on the ground like there was this morning, I'm going to talk about high school soccer here in a moment's time. But yeah, we're looking right after Victoria Day for things to start up. So about 3.5-4 weeks.
Love that.
Yes, absolutely. And it was definitely a good indoor season. Happy for everybody involved and for another successful season for sure. And now we gear up for outdoor, and that's always exciting. And with the indoor soccer season concluding, of course, it is all eyes on the summer, where outdoor soccer will begin in about 4 weeks' time for men's soccer. Women's and youth soccer will commence in 6 weeks' time. And we'll have more updates as time goes along once schedules get released. So the reason why, folks, that men's always start before youth and women's is because we access the turf at Superior Heights, whereas youth and women's access the grass at Strathclair and Tom Tipton Park. And an indicator that, of course, summer soccer is close is that high school soccer is getting ready to start. It is now official that we know the game days and times as high school soccer schedules have been released in the city of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Gaetano, every school, every coach, and every player in our city now knows when they play, where they play, and who they play against. How excited can soccer and largely our soccer community here get for what is ahead of us in the high school soccer domain.
Yeah, I think it's a time to be hugely excited. From what I've heard, I'm not kind of involved in the high school soccer scene, but from what I've heard, all the teams are looking really good. Some really quality players across the teams. So it's going to be a very competitive and very exciting summer.
Well, absolutely. And again, it's all getting started here this week, which is incredible. And it's about one. Usually it starts the week after, but we've had a really good winter weather-wise, I guess. And because we really haven't had much snow, they've been able to prepare the pitch and everything else. So we are starting April 22nd, which is in 2 days' time from the time that we're recording. So for folks who are wanting to get out and watch games throughout the season, the games will take place Monday to Friday at Superior Heights Soccer Field. So that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. Junior games start at 6 p.m. and senior games take place at 7:30 and 9 p.m. all five of those nights. The league kicks off on Monday, April 22nd, as I mentioned, and will conclude on Friday, May 17th. The playoffs will commence right after Victoria Day. The participating schools in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario High School Soccer are Cora, St. Mary's, Superior Heights, and White Pines. As the season goes on, we will have all updates here for you on Full Time. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the two locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. As we bring today's show to a close, we want to thank you and extend our most sincere thanks for all of you spending some time with us talking about the beautiful game. G, a pleasure to be here this morning with you, my friend.
Always, Scarps. Always a pleasure coming on. Got the City game on right now. Nerves have kicked in, but no better way to kind of kick off a day, get to talk with you about the beautiful game and then get to watch City play. Couldn't have scripted a better one.
You got it, man. I hope you enjoy that game and best of luck to you there. I'm going to go and enjoy it without the nerves, so that'll be pretty easy. A reminder to our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded the week of April 22nd, 2024. In that show, we will discuss Europe's Big Five, the Champions League, the Europa League, the FA Cup, and local soccer. As always, we will keep everyone in the loop with all of the happenings in the world of football. For weekly content, make sure to like, follow, and subscribe to all platforms of both the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Podbean. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino, and thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff next time back here on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. Best always.